This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
Well, with the success of the gig economy, there also, believe it or not, comes concerns about what it's doing to the relationship between customers and workers. Lindsay Cameron is a professor of management here at the Wharton School, has taken a deeper dive into this, and she joins us right now. Hi, Lindsay. How have you been?
I'm great. It's good to be back.
Let's start with this. What was it that drew you to looking at this? This is an interesting dynamic here.
Yeah, you're right. You know, like me, like so many other Americans, I depend on these services, you know, whether it's groceries or food or, you know, I need, you know, people need care for their children. And so there's just this bigger part of how the gig economy is becoming part and parcel of our everyday life. And when you hold services so close to you, where you depend on them, almost if they're a private good or a personal good, then I think it raises questions that maybe you're just not going to ask because you're so used to having these services. So that's sort of what sparked my interest, is sort of like, what is the role of consumers in the gig economy?
And I think the assumption is that the relationship is fairly fluid in most cases, but you're saying that there are some instances where it is it's becoming an issue.
Well, I think it's inherently an asymmetrical power relationship. So if you think of it as a triangle, Robin Leibner called it the customer service triangle. You've got the worker, the customer, and the platform company. But the platform company sets all the rules, determines what the algorithmic matching is going to do, sets the prices. And they tend to think the customer is king. So even though I think the actual transaction between the three parties works really well because of the digital technology, there's inherently a power imbalance that has the customer and the platform company sort of pitted against the worker.
And to a degree, you say that there's a little bit of an expectation that maybe the customer is working with the company in many cases.
Exactly. I mean, it's more like their interests are aligned. You know, the customer wants the amount, the ride at the lowest price, and the drive, the, you know, the company wants to make sure their riders are out there if they can take a transaction fee for every, you know, ride. If a customer is saying there's some sort of problem with the food delivery and they report it to DoorDash, well, who is DoorDash going to blame? Are they going to take the money out of their profits? Right. Or are they going to take it out of the restaurant or out of the worker's pocket? So I think that some of the areas where you see the customer and the worker, the customer and the company, the platform company sort of being aligned, we call it an interest alliance. And that interest alliance doesn't always serve workers.
What potentially needs to be looked at then to better the relationship on all fronts?
I think that's really the tricky, sort of, you know, question that you're asking right there. So all three parties have a responsibility. You know, there's particularly since the after, you know, in the pandemic and the aftermath, there's lots of issues with workers at or customers taking abuse of the system, you know, saying they didn't get their food when they actually got the food. They weren't actually in the car when they did the ride. And so, you know, I think customers have a responsibility not only to sort of tip well and, you know, to have a pleasant service interaction, but also, you know, not to engage in any sort of malignant behaviors towards the platform. I think for workers, it's about sort of not using these bots or other sort of technical tools that sort of override the algorithmic management system and compromise its integrity. But I think most of the responsibility actually does lie at the platform company, because like I said before, they set the rules. And that, I think, is often where you're going to need regulation to step in, because if you leave the platform companies up to regulate themselves, they may not do it in the interest of sort of benefit all three parties of this triangle.
So then what, from a regulatory perspective, might we need to consider here?
So, you know, I think it's the basic things that we, you know, from the very beginning, I think of the United States, we're having some of these basic conversations that I think we've talked about before about, you know, what is the minimum wage? Are people covered by insurance or employer's comp if they, you know, trip and fall while they're delivering, you know, a food delivery order?
Right.
Are platform companies sharing the information to customers that allow them to stay safe? You know, there's a new lawsuit that looks like it's in development about perhaps that these ride-hailing companies have information about drivers' criminal records or maybe sexual misconduct that they didn't share with customers, and then they ended up, you know, creating these sort of abusive situations in the app. So I think there's a lot of information around, or a lot of possibilities around information transparency from the platform company side that regulations can push for to make sure both workers and customers stay safer.
Because you would think that the company would want, you know, a scenario to play out where they have good drivers, they have good delivery process. It ends up having a significant positive impact on their bottom line. And while that may be the end goal, it seems like companies are willing to do that, but in many cases at the expense of the drivers or, you know, those gig workers that they have working for them.
You know, I think you're totally on the point right now. I think there's often from the companies this idea that regulation is sort of going to hold back innovation. It's going to make it so they can't innovate as quickly. But I think there's a way in which, well, you're saying ultimately, you know, these platform companies want to create a hospitable environment so customers and workers keep on returning. And I think there's very much a way in which they can work more with regulators as opposed to sort of doing these false promises or not actually following the spirit of the law to be able to create a more equitable atmosphere in which sort of like all three parts of the triangle, even though there is this information asymmetry, sort of come out better on the other end of the transaction.
Do customers even realize the role that they are playing in this process?
Oh gosh, not at all. I've done so many interviews with customers. I mean, they have no idea that there have been strikes happening, you know, among food delivery or ride-hailing drivers. If they're not aware there's a strike, how could there ever possibly be a boycott? Because boycotts right. are really the traditional example of where you see customers and workers coming together. And we don't really see those having like a long-lasting impact in the gig economy. I think most customers are just, you know, obsessed about efficiency. Can we get our service quickly at the lowest prices? But I do want to say the few times where I've seen a little bit of awareness about customers knowing there's something amiss in the gig economy are through students who watch a lot of TikTok videos. And once in a while, there's like a TikTok video by a gig worker that sort of goes viral where they're talking about some sort of injustice that's happening. You know, some people call it Instacarting when black, when they sort of, you know, have racial discrimination happening when they, you know, are delivering a package or a grocery. So I think it's sort of by these viral social media videos that sometimes I see the youth are more in tune about what could be happening, you know, the dark side of the gig economy than what I see sort of more in the general population.
So then is the potential that things could get better in terms of that overall relationship in the future because there is more of an awareness by the younger generations and they will be, you know, continue to be the main customers moving forward?
You know, I think that's optimistic. You know, I think that I'm not exactly sure if it's actually going to play out. I think with the younger generation, I saw awareness, but I did not see a capacity to have action. And I think that's a lot of critiques that tend to be around, you know, these online activist movements that they right. often create awareness, but awareness does not actually translate, you know, for example, into votes. So right. I would say I'm not even cautiously optimistic. I just want to say the young people are aware, but I'm not actually sure that they're actually going to do anything yet. Because again, you okay. know, they're shopping for their Halloween costumes from Spirit, you know, using these right. apps.
Right. Lindsay, great to talk to you. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you. It's good talking to you too.
You got it. Lindsay Cameron, Assistant Professor of Management here at the Wharton School. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.